You are tuned into the New Old Heads podcast, premiered every Thursday at noon at bringingdowntheband.com and brought to you by No Bad Ideas, Coleman Dental, Printfinity, and Indie CD and Vinyl. Support the New Old Heads by visiting our Patreon at patreon.com/newoldheads.
Episode 104 of the New Old Heads podcast. I am Major 7th. I make beats. My hard drive is in full effect, ready for that spoke. Longevity has keyboard hands. How are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you?
I see the chalice is locked and loaded with ice.
Yeah, ice.
Seems like
cubes and orange drink.
Nice. Drink. Seems like you're ready to go. Good to see you as always, my friend.
For sure.
In the corner, fresh to death, rocking the stone that the elves gave Frodo in the Lord of the Rings, I think, Twin Towers. You know the joint that he pulled out when the spider came out in the canyon?
Yeah, is that what that is?
That's what that is.
The light of whatever? Light,
yeah, that's what he has on. Fresh to death, as always, DJ J Diff.
Salutations.
What is it called?
I don't know. I just made it up.
Yeah.
You don't even know.
Well, it's the joint that made the spider go away. That's what you're rocking. What's up, sir?
It's actually Smoky Quartz.
Oh.
I got this from Dominic Dorsey.
Nice.
He makes nice things like these.
I ain't say it didn't look good.
I'm just telling you.
I was just telling you what I thought it was.
Motherfucker.
All right.
Boom.
We starting it out like
starting
that.
Starting like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. To my immediate left, the voice of Indianapolis, Mr. Wavy Light Skinned Girls Be Loving Me. Now he is doing a lot better. His conditioning has improved. Jay Moore is with us today. How are you, sir?
Doing well. Doing very well.
Let me ask you about your conditioning.
Oh, mm-hmm. Shit.
So do you use a Leisure Curl? Or do you use the other Creamy Crack when you want to condition?
Actually, I'm juices and berries all
juices
day.
Juices and berries. Yeah, that's kind of what I figured.
What I do for my conditioning.
That's what's up.
Do you pick them?
No, they already come prepackaged.
Oh, they just show up at the crib.
Yeah, pretty much.
Prepackaged conditioning.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to that violence we promoting out here on the screen in the back. It's all about that as well.
I mean, it is October. So.
It is October. Well done.
Yeah.
Well done.
Well done.
I like that. Good right. job, buddy. Don't do that long.
Sorry. Yeah. It was just funny.
Anybody see Halloween?
I have not yet.
I'm trying to go see it this week, though.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
It kills people.
Think so?
Or Spoiler alert.
Yeah, I know, right?
Spoiler alert.
Jamie Lee Curtis out here in these streets, though.
People 60s. Die.
I think she's late 50s, early 60s. No, and she got that thing on her from what I saw in the trailer.
What kind of thing you talking about?
Licensed. She's got that thing on.
I thought you might have been trying to
shoot
your shot.
I see what you're saying. I know somebody that said they still were going. I ain't going to put him on blast, but.
Just saying. Jamie Lee, she still look good.
Right now? Right now?
You going right now?
Yeah, like she been on that Activia. She been eating that her yogurt.
Wow.
Getting it in.
Yeah, she regular. Yeah,
exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Probiotics.
She taking bowel moments on
so
the check. Rig.
Exactly. So she still looks great. Shout out to Jamie Lee Curtis. Fantastic. Actress and
cool twist.
Good-looking woman.
So and the juices and berries are keeping her active.
Mm-hmm.
So she does Activia and juices and berries?
Probably does yoga, whole nine.
Okay. Well, she had that thing in the trailer.
Moisturized.
So.
There was, like, issues with her having a gun, right?
What?
Weren't the conservatives upset?
Uh-oh. Yeah. I don't know about that.
They said, oh, you guys are so anti-gun, but Jamie Lee Curtis here, who's a liberal, has a gun in a movie.
Yeah, well, she was trying to kill Jason. It was different.
Yeah.
Jason, come to your crib.
Right.
Yeah.
A little different.
As we can see.
Jason does not.
No, that's. Yeah, that is Jason. You're right.
Yeah.
I'll take it back.
He comes through the doors. You know, it could be locked. It don't matter.
Yeah, Jason is already about that life.
It doesn't matter.
Shitty that he has some, what are those?
They're like
head trimmers.
Yeah. Let's see.
Got what?
He has head trimmers.
Yeah.
Oh.
Let's see who we can find in
that's
here.
His weapon of choice today.
Let's see.
Okay, let's.
Anyway,
some people are listening. They don't know what we're talking.
Yeah, they don't know what we're talking about. They'll see. All right, so episode 104. Obviously, we are out of number suggestions. So if anybody wants to, you know, shoot us a line with things that we can do, give us some options for.
No, you don't have to do numbers. That. We're just gonna stop.
I'll take them. Forget them. I'll take them. Let me know if you got any suggestions. I'll definitely take
them.
Send them directly
to Major 7th.
Yeah, please.
The rest of us have stopped caring.
Yeah, I still care. You know what? We were talking prior to coming on. You know, we always talk about old sitcoms or movies or something like that.
Always.
South Central came up. I thought South Central was dope. You know what I'm saying? And Terry, I know we talked about it a little bit, you know what I'm saying, about South Central. And this is mad random, but South Central was cold. I don't think it gets enough light. You know what I'm saying?
It comes on Bounce TV all the time.
Does it? I don't.
Does it come on Bounce?
I don't know.
It does.
I know
it Bounce, came on BET a lot.
Bounce, BET, TV One, whatever it is, a black platform, they will show BET Stars, whatever. Okay. It comes on like at least once a week.
OG Bobby Johnson.
Yeah,
right?
You're getting that residual check.
Yeah.
OG Bobby Johnson, main character.
The actor's name is Glenn Plummer.
OBGYN Bobby Johnson.
I see you.
No, you don't want that.
Did he do a good job? You know what I'm saying, raising his son, even though, you know what I'm saying,
we don't know
situation.
That. Right. When the movie ended, OG Bobby Johnson, lightweight, could have been a shitty dad. We don't know.
He could have, man, but Deuce was there or here.
Deuce was strong in them streets.
Yeah, what stood out? What was one of your favorite parts in that movie, man? Just give me one. I know it's random.
Man, it's so many, man. When he was in jail.
When he's in jail.
Yeah. The 15 box of smokes.
Oh, the area cats. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, 15 box of smoke.
They was in there.
It's a man standing here, Buddha. Can't you see this? A man? Yeah. Yeah, you know he's a man.
Okay, but see, the thing is, this movie came
out. Don't
like,
find a way to hate on OG Bobby Johnson,
man.
I
find
man.
A way to hate on almost anything.
He can hate on it.
And the thing is, this movie came out like it was like, oh, Boys in the Hood. And then like it was like, hey, let's get a hood movie made. And
that's what they
we
said.
We don't want to use the Bloods and Crips, even though this is set in L.A.
Yeah.
So we'll just call them the Deuce. And and it was based on a movie called. It was based on a book actually called Bloods. But
I didn't know that.
It did basically, you know, because it cut out the whole Vietnam element. So it there is a whole another story they could have went, but I guess they didn't have time for that. They wanted to focus on, you know. The little kid shooting Willie Manchester in the back.
Old man Willie Manchester.
You know, and the thing is, I enjoy the movie almost for comedy purposes,
not because it's a comedy.
So both of y'all would be people that would hate on Loco, right?
Hate on him. Not laugh at him.
I mean, he's a Sherm head.
Nah, I think he had potential.
To do what? You're talking about him like he's a real person. Like, nah, Loco could have got his life together if he just got his GED or some shit. Yeah,
Loco got OG Bobby Johnson locked up.
Nah.
Yeah, he did.
Nah, I just,
the hooker, he called the hooker to the car. Remember that part?
Loco called the hooker to the car?
He called the hooker. And then he pulled out the
bag of rocks.
The smack.
Wow.
No, yeah.
Asked her to get down. And she said she was the police. Made him pull over.
Dang,
which was honestly, if you think about it, that was pretty bold on her. She got in a car with three gangbangers.
Yeah, true.
And just because she pulled her badge out, they all was like, all right, we're going to
pull
over.
That's
like,
funny in itself.
Broad daylight.
So,
what do you think about
that?
So
that movie's a comedy.
I've got no comments.
I don't know, man. I think y'all should give, you know what I'm saying, Loco some more love, man. But
I like the name Loco.
Oh, my God.
Look, all I know is...
All I know.
Yeah. There was a...
Loco was that dude.
The dude.
All I have to say
was
to
a
that
Muslim,
is...
But he... Shout out to
Master Troll. Master Troll.
Yeah. So, yeah. South Central. What was... Was there... There was one of the... There was a soundtrack for that movie, too.
It was a TV series, too.
Yeah.
Completely different. Yeah.
Way different.
Yeah.
Way different.
Yeah. I think the entire series is on YouTube now.
Was Tyrese in there?
No,
it was somebody else on the bus.
No,
I remember that's back when he
was
on
the
bus.
No, it was the dude
shit.
Who played Old Dog.
Old Dog.
Oh, it was him. Yeah.
Oh, shit. Lorenz Tate. Lorenz Tate. And then that was Jennifer Lopez's first TV show.
Wow.
Damn, was she in there?
She was in there. Yeah.
Interesting.
That's what's up. All
right. And, Clifton Powell. Like, me and my cousin, we got a name, like, name for him, but we're not going to do that.
We ain't gonna put him out there like
it's,
that.
It's, they call him that in Menace to Society.
Chauncey.
Yeah.
Well,
there's something,
yeah, there's something
else
that comes before that. Yeah, we ain't gonna go down that road. Yeah, we ain't gonna go down that road.
Oh, we can.
I know where you're going, though.
Yeah.
I know where you're going.
Yeah, so we go because we don't like to let too many maggots fly.
Don't come around here till about 9:10:30.
Hey, man.
You're not too scared to have the black man steal for your funky ass.
Hey. Ray got Ray got your boy out there selling drugs too.
Actually, no, he was not selling drugs for Ray.
He was stealing car radios.
Stealing
cars too.
Y'all stealing car radio. Loco, that's how J-Rock got shot by Will Manchester.
Mm-hmm. That's how he got popped.
He's just a boy. What did he say? I didn't know he was a boy. Man, that mug is crazy, that man. I got to go terrible, watch that
y'all.
Mug.
Then he went to rehab and learned how to play ping pong.
Yeah. That nurse was just trying to show him a little bit of love.
Yeah.
Hey, man, shout out to South Central. Yeah, I'm about to go watch that mug.
You probably got it on Blu-ray at the crib.
Shout out to Blu-ray. Movie. Yeah. Don't it ain't good as Boys in the Hood or Menace. But.
No, not even close. That's it's almost a parody of those movies.
That movie,
I'll rock with that.
That movie is like the GoBots to the Transformers.
Wow. Exactly. That bad?
Yes. Yeah. It's like, okay. Yes, exactly. That's probably the best way to put it.
Yeah, I'll roll with that. Did y'all, I think we all saw Rondo give Chris Paul two pieces and a biscuit.
That work.
Know what I'm saying? Yeah, he gave him that work.
Gave him a little spit, too.
Here's my question about the spit thing. Do you think it was intentional? He got the mouthpiece in. When you zoom in, I mean, it just kind of was, you know, sent out there.
Sure, it looked like it.
You think it was intentional?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. It could have been.
I don't know. At first, I didn't even see him spit on him.
They zoomed all the way
in.
Yeah,
they had to really slow it down. That's why I was wondering if, like, he was talking and maybe some spit came out. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, after,
everybody's had a conversation with somebody and they accidentally spit on you.
True.
And you be shitty.
True.
And that's why Chris Paul gave him the finger to the eye.
Mushed
him all in his eye. I mean, well, see, you can't
you
jam
hit,
somebody.
Though. Yeah, you had to put your finger in somebody's face.
Yeah. It was all in his eye socket.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to get swung on.
He hit him with that left immediately.
He did.
And then Chris got an uppercut in, if I remember. James Harden wanted no part. He was walking
the other
way.
He was on the other side of the court.
And then Brandon Ingram comes in out of nowhere at 185 pounds,
6'9". Because he started it.
He started by getting mad at that play about Harden.
Yeah, he was mad for no reason. Like,
I think Harden pushed him, though.
No, he didn't.
He definitely pushed off.
No.
He definitely pushed off.
I mean,
off.
It was a basketball play.
No, he pushed off.
No,
they let Harden
that.
Get away with robbery, bro.
Nah.
He pushed off.
Nope.
I would have been mad, too.
I ain't going.
And he take 12 steps. I'm not going. Yeah, he pushed off.
He does take a few too many steps, but he didn't. It wasn't none that merited what he did. And then he was ready. He swole it all up on the ref.
That was stupid.
Real dumb.
They should have gave him 10 games.
That was stupid.
Then Lance Stephenson of all people walked him away.
Man, how random is that? Weird
then
is
he
that?
Got loose. And he just wanted to swing on anybody. He ran to the crowd where they was fighting and just was like, I'm just going to stick my hand in here, Dal Sim style, and hopefully somebody catches this piece.
You might have lost somebody right there.
They know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
And you know who was at the game?
Ron Artest.
Who else was there? Who? Nipsey Hussle.
He was ready, too.
Yeah. You see Nipsey, you saw Nip standing up? Yeah,
man. Was in there.
That was a nice Magic Johnson throwback, too, by the way, Nip.
But as far as NBA fights, like, was that even worth? I mean, remember when Chris Childs got with Kobe?
Yeah.
That two-piece from Lee's.
That's really Chris Childs' only real highlight from the league.
It is.
If you think about it, you know.
At least it's with Kobe.
There you go.
He was a matter made of
somebody's
fact,
YouTube reel.
Yeah.
Kobe and Reggie Miller had a little joint that went over the scoreboard in the finals. I think it was game 2 in L.A., you remember they got into it for a little bit and they had to be separated and it spilled over to the scoreboard, Pacers fan.
I remember that. I do remember when Jordan and Reggie got into it.
Oh, yeah.
And it looked like a cat fight.
No, I remember, because Jordan started the fight and he put Reggie out of the game.
Yeah. He kicked Reggie out.
Yeah.
Mike was scratching Reggie Miller. Like, there wasn't no punches. He just scratched him all in his face and they was like, yeah, we're going to kick Reggie out at home at Market Square Arena. Like, that's crazy.
I mean, that was the Jordan era. It was like, we can't put Mike out.
True. Everybody did come to see Mike at that game.
Somebody. That's why it kills me how people always say they do this and that for LeBron. They always pick a player, and it's generally the best player in the league, that generally is followed and gets preferential treatment, which I can't say is right.
Stars been getting treated
like
that,
though. But it's nothing new. You know what I'm saying?
I could dig that. Because Mike used to get every call.
I mean, there was calls made because of Mike.
True.
And the thing is, Mike used to yell at the officials like he was talking to his kids.
Right. Yeah. Like, pull that jersey up. You know what I'm saying? Try to cover.
Now, Chris Paul don't care. Like, they need to cut away from Chris Paul every time.
Yeah. He cuts like, every other word.
Yeah, you know. He never needs to be mic'd up for a game.
He got it. He's insured. He's not tripping.
I see what you did there.
Cliff Paul got his back.
Yeah, I see what you did there. Lakers 0-3. Look pretty bad right now. So,
but you know, and I'm not a Laker or a stand for LeBron, but they have played three of the better teams in the Western Conference, and they've held their own. Like it's never been a blowout. It's not like they started the season off playing. I don't know who's whack. There's a
Sacramento Kings.
That's always a go-to. Sacramento Kings.
They played San Antonio
and Houston.
Those are all good teams.
Those are all playoff teams. Well, they were last year. I'm not sure about, you know, it's still early. You don't
LeBron
know.
LeBron
got to
hit them free
off.
Throws, though, man. You know? I'm a LeBron fan. He got to hit the free throws. No excuse for that.
No, there really isn't.
He had that long three. They was up six. Got to hit the free throws, fam. Got to hit at least
gotta
one. Got
to hit the motherfucking free
gotta
throws.
Got to hit the free throws. So.
Ooh. Yeah.
So
we'll see. Everybody in the world is watching to see them fail. So
don't be Shaq out here. I know you play for the Lakers, but
and is it me? This might be a weird observation, but does it seem like LeBron's uniform is like a size too small?
I think it's on purpose.
Yeah, I think he does that.
Yeah, I think it's on purpose. All right. They cut the shorts are shorter this year. You noticed. Like you remember when Iverson them was playing, they had culottes on.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
culottes. What is a culotte?
I ain't gonna even do that, man.
Don't know what that is.
They were longer shorts.
That's a culotte?
Culottes. I'm not doing this, man. No, man.
Oh. No, I really want to know.
It's like a flared, longer pant.
Worn by a
pant.
A woman.
I like the word pant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. A culotte.
Yeah, that's what the shorts are like when Ivo, you know, was at his.
Come here, you little bitch.
Check. Shout out to Iverson, too. Don't do that, man.
Shout out to the culottes. All the women out there wearing culottes with their heels.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And capris.
Living it up.
Culotte capris.
Nothing wrong.
With one pant on.
Mm-hmm.
Still,
nothing wrong with a nice pant. Yeah.
Master troll. All right. So, shout out to Memphis. North, south, east, west. Beale Street. Barbecue. All that. Adjacent. Mm-hmm. What I miss?
The county seat and unincorporated areas.
Thank you, sir. We don't want no smoke.
You don't want no smoke.
So,
not with Memphis, you don't.
This is an interesting topic that longevity brought up. I figure we talk about this one.
Word.
2010 best debut albums from 2010 to now. That's a 2-part question. One, what would you guys consider? You know, maybe some releases that stand out since then, and also, what do we actually? How do we define a debut album? So mm-hmm. It's a debut album. If you're in a group, can you come out with your first solo project and that could be considered a debut album, even though you've had, like Little Brother, we'll use them as an example. They dropped The Listening and The Minstrel Show.
2001.
And they start splitting up or whatever, Left Back, Get Back, all that. And then Fonte dropped Charities at Home?
Starts at Home.
Which was dope, by the way. So the question would be, and I guess we can get to the albums that came out. We can do that later or whatever. But my question is, would that be considered Fonte's debut album, even though we've known him for years from Little Brother?
I say no.
I know Lone Heavy on the no side. I'm on the yes side. But I want to hear from the no side on this one because I think it's his debut album.
All right. So
I need you to tell me why it's not.
Oh, you want me to actually speak?
Yes, sir.
Because we all know him. Like, I don't think it's a debut project simply for the fact that he's not really debuting anything other than he's just rapping. He's been rapping. He's been rapping with Little Brother for years before that. And he was probably the main feature in Little Brother for a very long time.
Ain't no probably.
Well, I'm just saying. And so the people that knew Fonte, this is not a debut. This is just more of the same. So that's the way I feel.
It's a bonus.
It's like a bonus, you know? I mean, just like I don't make the same argument with Outkast. If Andre 3000 puts out an album, is it going to be his debut album?
It's definitely his debut solo album. Man.
Not really.
I say no.
Technically,
so that's just me.
Love Below and
that's what I would
Speaker
say well.
Box
that was
were
an out-
supposed to be solos.
That was an
Outkast
album. When you go to the stores, that's an Outkast album.
Yeah, but
so,
but it, are we going specifically off of the technicality of them having a group name, or are we going off the fact that their group is them? That's who they are. Like,
no, I'm simply looking at it from a standpoint. To your point about the technicality. Little Brother and Fonte are two different things. They are. Little Brother is this. Vontae's solo project, his first release, is that. So even though we know him, his debut solo project is that first album. To me.
Why?
Well, technically.
Because it's his first release as a solo artist.
But why?
Well, do we but classify why? The Foreign Exchange?
That's what I was about to
we
say.
We got the Foreign Exchange.
Foreign Exchange is different from Little Brother.
Because he's the only one entities. That says anything. Yeah. On the Foreign Exchange.
But at the same time, like, I consider those to be three completely separate debuts. Him
Thank
in a group.
You. That's what I
him
said.
Him in another group and him as a solo artist.
Right. But it's not his debut.
His debut on Charity Starts at Home is most certainly his debut.
As a solo artist.
Look, you can be wrong, Jay Moore.
I mean, I have no problem. I'll be loud wrong
not,
if need be.
This is not that hard to me. It's his debut release as a solo artist. It is.
Okay. When you put it like that, as a solo artist.
Yeah.
With nothing else you put out, but it's not the debut to this artist.
Okay,
so if the question is,
are we
who
first,
has
this
the
is
best?
How we're first introduced to him. Okay,
well, I guess it yeah. depends on the comment. But if you say, but if the question comes up, what's your favorite debut project from 2010 on? Are you going to say Fonte Charity Starts at Home?
I'll say that. I'll say that's one of them because
as far
as I'm concerned, like what your artistic expression might, you know, just like okay, there's a difference between. You know, longevity, perhaps if to do a solo record as opposed to longevity with the section leaders, as opposed to
those are the entities that I'm talking about.
Yeah, as opposed
to Hanks Jones.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm speaking
as
from
opposed
that,
to Hanks Jones.
I'm
yes.
speaking from that angle though. That's why I feel this way because my debut. If I put out an album this year, but it wasn't my debut. It was just a project that I put out. My debut was a long time ago with Hanks Jones.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way I feel. So like. It may be people's introduction to me as a solo artist, so I can understand that aspect. But as a debut of who I am, no, that to me that devalues everything that I've done. If somebody classes me as okay, this is my debut. Period.
Okay. Because, well, what if the artistic direction is completely different?
Like, well, from my standpoint, the artistic direction on every project is different.
Okay, but say, okay, you are or somebody like. Say you're in a rap group and then your debut as a solo artist is a rock project.
Well,
that's
I guess so. Would you say that? Would you say when Lil Wayne put out like a punk rock album or something?
He put out a rock album, yeah.
Okay,
I never. Really
so would that be a debut?
No, because it's still under the banner of Lil Wayne. Just because it's a different artistic expression.
It seems
under
like
the same. Under the same name.
I understand the point. It just seems like a formality that doesn't make I don't know. I don't agree
with
it.
So did Tupac
have
more
than one? I'm not saying he was.
Did Tupac have more than one since his last album was called Machiavelli? Did he debut
as Machiavelli? Is that
the debut as
Machiavelli?
Technically. But it Thug Life, it was his debut as a group. Well, no, it wasn't because he was on the ground.
Yeah.
I guess it just seems like a weird concept to me. I don't disagree with what you guys are saying.
I think it's a weird way of saying the same thing.
Yeah.
But say Charity Starts at Home was nominated for a Grammy that year, which it wasn't, which it should have been.
Although his new album did get nominated.
Oh, good. Okay, yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But you know, but if it was nominated as under the best new artist category,
mm-hmm.
I would see that as legit.
I think the thing that I'm really trying to peel back here is the labeling aspect of things in general. And so you kind of talked about it when we talk about Grammys.
Yep.
Now, is anybody here's an interesting thing. We still talk about the Grammys, even though to me the Grammys are irrelevant.
Irrelevant, yeah.
So when we talk about debuts and we talk about this, we're talking about this under this like structured system of, well, this is this person's debut project or this group's debut or this debut. That's kind of like the historical way we're speaking on it realistically.
Right.
Even though it's not... If we're fans of them, it's not these artists' debuts, really, because they're a part of other entities. It's like saying Robert Glasper's debut was last year. It's like, oh, he was brand new. No, he wasn't. You know, right. Like, so it's kind of misleading, you know, I guess is the way that I look at it. So if we talk about the Grammys, it's an interesting conversation to me. I'll let you guys speak on the debut. Does anybody else have any more comments on the debut?
Other than the Machiavelli joint, did you have anything else on this before, I guess, he goes to something else?
Nah.
Nah.
No, I just
mean because we're
saying the same thing.
Yeah,
over
saying the same thing.
I think Big Boy's Sir Lucius Left Foot, the Chico Dusty joint, that's his debut solo album, to me. Like, so let's go back to his first solo album outside of Outkast.
Go back to what you initially started with. So you're saying, are you asking what we think are the best albums from 2010 to now?
Yeah, that was a part. That's like the second
as
part.
A debut artist.
Like as a debut, like when the first joint they put out. Because I think Lone, before we went on, he brought up a good point about Kendrick, right? Because to the masses, I guess his debut solo studio album would be what? Good Kid, Mad City?
Right.
But we've had the conversation about, well, a Sexnadian mixtape is listed on Wikipedia as an album.
And doesn't matter anymore.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's a whole different conversation. Does that even matter? So he dropped...
When we talk about Grammys and stuff like that.
But to the average, like, just to the consumer, what were the... what was the series he dropped prior to Section 80? I might have a brain freeze.
I don't remember, but he had a...
Prior to Section 80 was... Overly Dedicated.
Overly Dedicated, yes. Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I think people looked at that as, I guess, a mixtape or whatever. But if you ask the average person, I think they're going to say his debut album was Good Kid, Mad City.
That's the one that the Grammy recognized.
Exactly. Right, and that goes to his point about the system and everything.
That goes back to, too, like SZA was nominated last year as a brand new artist.
Okay.
SZA has been out for about 6 years.
Right.
She's been signed to the TDE imprint, and her last album, which is more popular, is actually her second album on TDE. So if you're talking Grammy standards, then yeah, they are going to consider it like that. But who decides ultimately when someone's debut project is other than the artists themselves?
Exactly.
Mm. I mean, that's fair. I'm not mad at that. It's just, to me, even as somebody that followed Little Brother from... I'm talking about the day one, through all the way up and through then. I just always, in my mind, looked at the Charity album as Fonte's debut solo album. Like, I've always looked at it that way.
We were just talking about Conditioning.
I see what you did there. But you're right. That is a valid point when you talk about the criteria, when you talk about Grammys versus...
I mean, it doesn't really matter.
Right, but I'm just saying that's a good point to bring up. Like, that's a good point to bring up. I'm not mad at that. I don't know. It can go either way. It's subjective, I guess, how you see it.
Honestly, I can't tell you what my favorite album is of the last 8 years.
It's hard for me, too, especially from, like, a debut. Like,
that were dope. Something that stood out to you?
So we could answer this multiple ways, because you could say well, Section 80 is a great debut, right?
Yep.
Or Good Kid, Mad City, or When Charity Starts at Home.
Yep.
If that's the way you want to lean. But what about Chance's Acid Rap?
I looked at that as,
because that's like his first thing, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Whether it was a mixtape or an album, or that was really his debut.
Right.
I think Section 80 was really Kendrick's debut.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, however you want to classify it, I mean,
I got put on to him, Kush and Corinthians.
And
on
I'm speaking
Section
on this,
80.
And I'm saying this based upon your guys' argument here. Mm-hmm. So, but
I mean, I got put up on him, on Section 80. That's when I actually was like, all right, because somebody played me Kush and Corinthians. But I was always in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, this is a mixtape, because I looked at Good Kid as his official, you know, studio album,
right,
with the air quotes,
yeah,
debut. You know what I'm saying? If I was thinking 2010 to now, that would be one of the albums that would stand out to me. It ain't got to be the best or one of my favorite, but...
So can you think of any artists, what about to the other side? Can you think of any artists that have came out in the last 8 years that have really impressed you? Maybe not debut album is necessarily the right criteria. Is there somebody in the last 8 years
who's come out?
I mean, there's lots of artists, really.
Yeah.
I mean,
Saba.
Joey Badass.
Saba would be a good one.
Yeah. Saba for me.
I think Joey was a little before that, but it was around 2010, 9.
I think ASAP Rocky.
They were all around the same time.
Yeah. I like his, like, when he first hit the scene.
Yeah.
I like what he's done. But to me, musically, it seems like he's missing a little bit lately.
I agree.
In my opinion. But he's still out there bubbling. And
he's in his fashion bag, too, though. Right? Like, you know how they are now. Like everybody's...
It's like a bar, right?
Mm-hmm. I see what you did there.
don't ask your boy Q about it.
Nah, we ain't gonna do that. Don't do that.
But what about... What Action Bronson, did he come out around that time? Or was he early?
I think Action Bronson will fall under this, under that, you know, school time frame. Yeah.
What about...
Because, you know, he had the issue with the sounding like ghosts and all that stuff.
It's Mick Jenkins.
That's a good one.
I can't really.
It's hard to really kind of say that.
There's a lot of people that came out in the last 8 years. Definitely.
Gambino. He would probably be towards the top for me in terms of just being impressed. Overall being impressed.
Right.
Well, he's a three-trick pony, though.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he has his hands in a lot of stuff, so that kind of
reminds me of Jamie Foxx, man, in terms of his talent level. Reminds me of Jamie Foxx.
Creative-wise, I think he's probably one of the best creatives out right now.
No question. Mm-hmm. No question.
Overall.
Yeah. Period. Yeah. No question. He definitely will fall in that, because I think his first EP came out in 2011. So, you know, he falls in within the criteria there. I'm trying to think if there's any other. When did I got on Tyler the Creator late? When was, I think he dropped Cherry? What was it?
All these guys, the Odd Future and all them. It was like
Earl
late 2008, 2009, 2010-ish.
Oh, so they might be outside of.
It's right around
what
that
about
time
2
frame.
Chainz though? That's another person.
His
you
rebrand.
Can consider.
So who was his rebrand?
Outside of Titty Boy,
right?
Okay. Ooh, that's good. That's a good one.
Look, I honestly paid no attention to any of Titty Boy's music. So
don't do that.
Play a circle.
Okay,
I see you, Long.
Duffel Bag Boy. I came front on that.
But that was
a
group.
Song. Yeah, they had no. Yeah. They had a song with Fonte that was pretty good.
I hate him.
Wow.
Player Circle has some heat now. Don't get it twisted. Mm. Player Circle has some heat when he's Titty Boy.
I didn't really check him out like that.
They had a couple jams now.
But I can't say him reinventing himself as 2 Chainz.
Okay. Under the 2010
definitely
criteria.
Elevated his career.
Okay. I'm not mad at that.
And it gave every rapper above the age of 35 some real hope.
Some real hope.
Start over Wars. Today.
Yeah, 2 Chainz was in college and, you know.
Collagen?
Hooping. Yeah. You're talking about game. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know, man. I don't want to leave anybody out. But
You're definitely leaving people
we're leaving.
Out. I mean,
that's why we can't answer the question.
Yeah, it's kind of hard, especially
those are the ones
fly.
That stood out
I mean,
to
we,
me.
Plus, you're talking to two people who were like majorly sharing independent artists for a very long time. So
I mean, when was J. Cole?
J. Cole and Kendrick are around the same time. And they actually were dropping stuff before 2010. Because I was listening to J. Cole and Kendrick like in 07, well,
Friday Night Lights was, I remember that as the mixtape.
Yeah, that was in like 08.
Okay.
Kendrick came out in
2007, no, actually, it may
I
have
think.
Been a little bit after that, but there was another. There was a Cole mixtape out. He was dropping them consistently, like before he got signed to The Rock. And those were all before 2010. So, I don't know. There's a lot of artists out there that have dropped dope stuff, have influenced the sound that's going on right now. I mean, Migos.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
No matter how you want to cut it, they're very influential to the sound.
No question. Mm-hmm. No question about it, yeah.
Who else?
They are.
I don't know, man.
Well, see, because there's a lot of people who've come and gone. They've made a huge impact, and then we don't hear from them.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, Migos pretty much on a commercial level have at least been consistent.
Yeah. Machine Gun Kelly came and went.
Let me ask you this.
He really did. He was really big.
Yeah. Oh, no. I remember during the time when the Casbah was still popping. We had, like, because he had stuff with Waka, and, he was going hard, and, like, there was stuff that people knew. And honestly, until this beef resurfaced, I had forgotten all about, well, other than when I saw him performing at the Cavaliers victory parade.
Yeah.
I'd almost forgotten about Machine Gun Kelly.
I had, too, up until that point. I ain't going to lie.
Yeah, Eminem saved him.
No doubt about it.
got him a check or two.
Hopefully he cast out on that boy.
Yeah.
I had a question about the Migos. Mm-hmm. With
the Amigos?
With this oversaturation era and people just doing like random joint projects and putting stuff out, and you know, the Migos, like Offset did a joint, had like 19 joints on it.
Quavo, I'm sorry.
And I'm starting to think it's like streaming music is what I call it, because you're just putting out joints. Like, do we think that their run about to end? Is there going to be another shift? Because they're starting to put stuff out now at a rate where it's like it's not special anymore. It's just we just throwing stuff out.
There's always going to be a shift.
A new wave?
Yeah, there's always going to be a new wave. There's always going to be a new way of actually releasing content.
Sure.
Pusha T actually touched on that in his interview with Joe Budden.
Yeah.
He pretty much had brought up He actually apologized for saying it was cheating.
Because I disagree with the cheating part.
Yeah,
I don't think
he apologized for saying it was cheating. And what he was talking about is people dropping albums that are 24 songs long, and it's pretty much like 1 and 2 minute songs.
Filler material.
And you're just filling up the album.
Yeah.
Whereas you have the people that are dropping bars and are more into the content that you're hearing are dropping longer songs but shorter albums. And they are also talking about when's the last time you heard somebody have a third verse on a song.
Yeah. That's a good point.
You know, so.
That's a good point.
The thing is, that might be, for people to only do songs that are a couple of verses, might be, it's because I'm, you know, coming from someone who's hears a lot of music in the club, mm-hmm. you know, whether it be at Coaches where we, you know, we tend to go underground or classic hip hop, or when I'm at Tiki Bob's when we're doing, you know, pretty much the mainstream, what's popping right now. I can't remember. Like, there are songs that I've heard over and over, and I've never heard the third verse anyway.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
You know, even when I listen to classic records, I think it was Eazy-E's Boys in the Hood. I forgot how long that record is because I'm used to only hearing the first and maybe the second verse.
Joints used to be 4:50.
You know, what I'm saying? Yeah, like, just think about how long "I'm Bad" by LL Cool J is. That's like five verses of just him rapping. But I think, honestly, to fit people's attention span, even though the Vine's not a thing anymore, the Vine, YouTube.
It's adapted.
Honestly, they're stories. Adapting, you know, to tell, unless you're trying to tell a story. Like, because think about, you know, the reaction, unless you're a really great storyteller, like to that Lil Wayne Kendrick song, which I hated. You know, that song was too long for a whole bunch of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Don't start, man. To me, it's an adjustment to the times. And the thing is, you got to remember, if you go back to a certain time, if you listen to Motown songs, none of those songs are longer than 3 minutes.
Right.
You know,
facts.
The 4 and 4.5 minute song, that's something that didn't come along till later. I mean, you know, when you're talking about album oriented rock, and like you could go into a whole different thing with
have
that.
Have a bridge.
Yeah, there was a time.
Breakdown.
Yeah, there was a time. Now, then they got too crazy where songs were like 11 and 15 minutes where a whole album might have 4 songs on
it. I'm cool on that.
But, I don't want any artist of today trying
Frank
to pull
Ocean.
That off.
Forgot about Frank Ocean.
I'm good with Frank Ocean.
And above.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
But
he was Odd Future Camp too, though, right?
Yeah.
Reason why I thought about that real quick is because his song Pyramid is real long.
Okay.
Because it kind of, like, he has, like, a beginning part, then it kind of transitions and goes into the other part of Pyramid.
Yeah, because you think about those Isaac Hayes records, it might be, what, 5, 6 records on each,
right.
on full-length albums, you know.
Definitely.
So.
Even with some of the classic, like, jazz joints, you know what I'm saying? When you think about it, some of those joints, as it got later in the 70s, they started doing those extended plays where you had records that was like 9 minutes.
Yeah,
like
those are
Blue
like
and those.
I think those aren't an exception. And
I thought
I mean
those were
that,
cool though because they were instrumental.
But the reason why I'm saying that is because those are more instrumentation. So the instruments are the ones talking to you.
Facts.
So they can take you on a journey through all that instrumentation. Whereas with a song, like a written song, where somebody's singing or rapping or whatever. That's kind of getting the point across quicker rather than taking you on this musical journey.
I don't want a 9 minute Quavo song.
Right.
Yeah. It's,
that's just me, though. I mean,
no,
somebody might be waiting for a 9 minute Quavo song.
Cool.
But I'm just saying, honestly, for the era that we're in and the artists who are popping right now, honestly, they might need to max out at 2 verses.
Yeah.
It's just oversaturation to me.
Well, those are different types. Those are songs made for consumption of pop music versus, you know, jazz. I mean, there was a time when jazz was
pop music,
mm-hmm. but not quite in the same, wasn't the same type of era. So
I was having a conversation with a coworker who brought something to my attention that, and I don't know, this is not a verified source or anything like that. It's just a conversation. And he was telling me about, he heard that there's a chance the Grammy, to Long's point, we're talking about the Grammys. The criteria might change in terms of how they categorize, you know, best rap album, best R&B, best pop. Like Drake's album, for example, if you had a certain percentage of singing and crooning on your album, if it was over a certain amount, it would take your album into a different category, pull you from hip hop.
Oh, they gonna use that.
Mm-hmm. To me, yeah. In my opinion, as the grumpy old man or whatever, I think that shit is dope. Like, let's get all of the filler shit that's in the hip hop category out and get it where, I'm not gonna say where it's supposed to be, but somewhere else.
Well, I can G for that because there's a lot of people that like to classify what they do as not hip hop and as not rapping.
But they're eating off the hip hop culture.
Exactly.
Right.
We've talked about that a few times and how, right, I disagree with what they're saying, because everything about your music says hip hop. It doesn't matter if you put a little spin on your voice a little bit or you added some extra auto tune to it. At the end of the day, it's still hip hop.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So be it. Let them find their own niche and win no awards.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because there's going to be people that actually are doing what they're claiming
that
they're doing.
That's the point.
That's really going to show them. So.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, this, the whole way they break this down, like, who's going to be over it? Because sometimes with the American Music Awards that just passed a few weeks ago, they wind up giving, like, XXXTentacion or whatever. I can't call him X.
Tentacion.
I can't call him X because that's DMX.
Tentacion.
Well,
extension.
That's what Boosie said.
He wound up winning, I believe, like best R&B.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, he won in the best R&B. He beat out SZA in the best. I was like,
nah.
How did they determine that should be even in that particular category? Like, so sometimes, yeah. I understand. Like, I think it's a good idea to make sure. Okay, if you're gonna win for the hip hop, let's make sure you're actually rhyming over a beat as opposed to, you know, half and half singing or more than 75% singing.
I think we're just at the point we have to define that, maybe. I guess.
You know,
I mean, God bless the dead, but like the Lock said, dead rappers get better promotion.
True.
So that has a lot to do with why he won that award, because if he was still alive, I don't think he would have won it.
I don't know if I agree with that, though. Because
the American Music Awards, at least you can say, okay, this is not based on, for lack of a better term, artistic merit. It's based on airplay, now streaming, and sales.
Exactly.
They combine all those things together.
Letterman,
so it doesn't matter if, you know, if, like, I remember when Kanye West got all mad because he didn't win one year. It's not because they're not recognizing your artistry. It's just because your numbers didn't beat the person who won. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, when I see Extension win Best R&B album, that means I feel like somebody dropped the ball somewhere.
Yeah. I think the drop the ball concept is happening more than we think. I get what you're saying about, you know, the Lox line. I think that's legit.
Well, that's because
something
after
in my gut makes me think that may have happened anyway, just because there is such a blurry line now as to what's actually rap.
Well, because
though,
after he died, everybody rushed to Spotify or mm-hmm. Tidal or whatever, and they said, well, who is this kid who just died? That's what happened.
So all the numbers
numbers
like Mac Miller.
Yeah, all his albums jumped back. And so, honestly,
he doubled his Instagram numbers in like a week from the time he died, and he already had like 3 million.
3 or 4 million, yeah.
So, and it's just like when the American Music Awards came around the next year after Michael Jackson died. He wound up winning several awards.
Because Thriller was back in the top 100.
Because it's based on airplay and sales. So technically, if all of a sudden everybody just starts buying some 20-year-old record and streaming, like, it could potentially win Album of the Year.
Yeah.
That's the American Music Awards. Now, the Grammys are supposed to be about recognizing artistry. It's not supposed to be about sales. It's that's how you get a Steely Dan that wins out of nowhere.
Good call.
But at the same time, I feel like because only a few people sell now, I feel like that's the only reason Taylor Swift has two Record of the Year awards, you know, because they're like, oh, we got, and that, I feel like that's when sometimes it's the most recognizable, and that's why they give Adele, not that she's not a great singer and I don't recognize her artistry, but like, if Adele puts out a record, you might as well not, all females in the category, mm-hmm. you might as well not put out a record, because they're just going to give the Grammys to Adele.
Put them units.
So
jump in on the part about we were talking about with the distinction, because I think this shit is blurry. Like,
distinction as far as
in terms of R&B versus, like, him winning the R&B. Like, I think that shit would have happened.
This not an R&B album.
I mean, you're
right. It's an emo album, if anything, and we've talked about that as well.
We have.
Not an R&B album.
I know it's not. I'm just saying I don't think the the distinction is clear cut as we think it is when people start looking at some of these awards, because some of the stuff that I hear is like, I'm like, that's not rap. It's not.
Well, who is the ones that are voting on
that's
this?
A good
because
question.
That kind of goes back to even in politics,
right,
that you have a lot of the older people making these decisions.
In the Grammys, yeah. But
that's a good point.
But for the AMAs, like, how did you even put this particular person in this category? Because I, as for all the, for, you know, because I'm sorry, I just couldn't get in the extension. You know, even after he died and people were like, oh, you got to check it out. I was like, I'm sorry, man, this just ain't me.
Right.
I didn't hear a lot of singing. I mean, not enough to qualify it as an R&B album.
Yeah, why wasn't Drake in that category?
I'm with you.
Or why has he ever been in that category? Like, right, all this, then you have to start. When people make, when there are mistakes like that made, then you got to go back and see, like, well, who else maybe should have won if you're going to do that. But if you're not, like I said, this was, everybody else in that category was clearly an R&B artist.
Mm-hmm.
They were people who sing, they don't rhyme.
Yeah. You have not been hearing extension albums on the radio like you've heard SZA's. SZA's had at least 3 to 4 songs in rotation since her album came out.
But I can't argue with that.
But that's also about, there's been a complete change in how people consume music.
Right.
Because it used to be, the radio used to be the conduit to you being a successful musical artist. There are people who never get played on the radio,
mm-hmm,
who, when they tour, sell out wherever they go. Like,
that's a fact.
That's
you
a
know,
fact.
So like somebody like, you know, like, of course the Migos are all over the radio. Drake is, but, you know, Extension and like a lot of these other emo rappers, you know,
cult followings, man.
They like, have they have cult followings to where you look at their stream, like, you don't hear what's the kid's name with the rainbow teeth? Tekashi. His records don't play on the radio. He's
always in the Billboard top 100.
Yeah, but that's because there's such
streaming.
There's such an emphasis on streaming now, which I think needs to be adjusted, because, you know, the Ellie Mae, because now there's they call it actual record sales, when people actually go out and buy your record.
Right.
But it's like Ellie Mae came in behind someone else who had fewer actual sales,
mm-hmm,
because the person had higher streaming numbers.
Mm.
So that pushed her lower, her debut lower, because I can't even remember the other person, because it's somebody that never gets played on the radio, but they have high streaming numbers. So there's going to be a constant evolution on how we are measuring the metrics, because at one point, you know, Billboard didn't even take any of this into consideration.
Right.
You know, now it's like for every 1,500 streams, I guess that counts as a record sold.
Mm-hmm.
Did y'all hear her album? I listened to it.
Yeah, I listened to it.
I checked it out. Ellie Mae.
Ellie Mae's album with, I think Mustard did, that's his artist.
I know he did it, her whole first mixtape.
The first mixtape? Because I think he probably did, I want to say maybe 5 or 6 of the joints on this one.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's 10 or 11 joints. I didn't realize until I saw the Breakfast Club interview that she had her accent.
She's like, from the UK.
Yeah, I didn't know she's from the UK. Kind of mm-hmm. like, sound like Marsha Ambrose, just kind of remind me of that.
It makes sense, though, because like the UK are big on 90s R&B and hip-hop and stuff. So you can hear that influence. That's the reason why Booed Up did so well, because
that's
to us,
song.
It's very reminiscent to the 90s.
And another reason, it worked on every format. It worked on urban AC and rhythmic, and so everybody liked that song. Mm-hmm.
I knew she had one when I started seeing remixes pop up, Fab, T-Pain, and it's like, man, everybody's trying to remix this record now. So
her new record on the radio is nice.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh,
the one that Jacquees tried to sing over.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
And she talked about that too. She kind of, you know, brushed that to the side, like, it's cool. Like, I'm not mad. It's, you know, it's all right. But it's dope to see her come out and actually have talent.
Yeah.
Like, she's got skills. Like, the production was cool. It still had that sound. Like, his sound is not going to go too far. I can tell somebody came in there and played some keys. Somebody else came in there and it gave it a pop/R&B type feel.
Like, it's a good R&B album, which are in shorts. I don't want to say in short supply. But honestly, they don't push R&B like they used to. It used to be a balance to where, okay, we're going to do some hip hop and it's going to be mostly R&B.
Yeah.
And then it was like 50-50. And then like hip hop just took over to the point where like it was hard to even get an R&B record
all
played.
The R&B artists are trying to make hip hop albums. Like
Facts.
Usher just dropped an album that is produced all by Zaytoven.
And it sounds like it almost sounds like a rap like a rap EP.
Yeah.
Yeah, I noticed that when I listened to it.
Mm-hmm,
and I'm like, Usher was one of those dudes that actually was staying to the core. You know what I'm saying? Like, when I think R&B, I'm like, all right, Usher's going to drop R&B. Tank is going to drop R&B.
They're going to give me those at least one really, you know, powerful slow jam. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, now that type of record, man, is like Can You Stand the Rain, those types of joints, non-existent. There's not.
With the Daniel Caesars, with her, with the
Daniel
like,
Caesars,
there
dope.
Is the, with
he's
with,
dope.
Like the you know though there I see like because at one point I was like, what do young boys put on a slow jam tape? Or, they probably
that,
don't have a slow
does
jam
that even
tape.
Exist anymore?
Maybe they got a slow jam playlist. But like, what do young cats? Because I remember, you know, having my little tape in the car with my Boys to Men and Escape and Jodeci and
Masego is my new shit.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I gotta I'm asleep. I gotta get
that
on
shit's
that.
Cold.
Yeah, girl, sit down to this little baby. While we
like you and there,
bitch
like,
on the baby. That line is dope, by the way.
But,
I'm sorry,
because I was like,
I love that line.
Like you just gonna play all this slow jam tape, and it's got a whole bunch of cursing. And, you know what I'm saying? It's like I just wonder what the young cats used to what they did in this
baby,
area.
How you doing?
I'm trying to get in the move. Throw some little pump on. What? Throw some Tekashi 6ix9ine
like,
on.
Throw that back like, hey. Hit him on the back like, hey. Hit him on the back like, hey. Hey,
that's considered romantic music. Yeah. No, I mean, but
Terry, that's what the slow down tape sound like.
Yeah, and they might chop and screw it a little bit to slow it down.
So you know, hopefully with the LA May and
might like chop
some other folks that can kind of give people. I just want people to get that feeling back. You know,
man,
what I'm saying?
It's not too much
feeling.
To ask. It's not
good
too
feeling.
Much to ask.
You know, put on something for your lady. You know,
I wouldn't mind seeing a group come out where the whole group
ain't no more groups
as. Choreographed dances
hey,
and shit.
Cost too
if,
much money
if
to
they
do that.
If they came out and they were cold, I would support everything they did just off the strength of having the choreography and having dope music. I would take that and I rock with it.
You're going to be a B2K fan if they come back?
No.
But see, this is why we don't see groups anymore. Because basically, everyone who gets signed now almost has to be close to a finished product.
That's a
because
fact.
Because these record companies are not trying to invest in any kind of like you gotta they're not
there's
gonna,
no
they want it right
develop.
Now
they don't
want to
they're not
the A&R is no longer existed though
so no, they exist
it, could, they're
y'all
there.
Think it is
yeah no because when New Edition went to MCA
the
they had to hire somebody for vocal coaching
right.
choreography wardrobe you know people to write and produce the songs like somebody would have to show up as New Edition already
yeah
there's no artist development anymore.
And so it's too expensive to try to get to try to sign five dudes, get them all on one, or four dudes, whatever, take it to the Boys to Men era, have the songs ready for them. That's millions of dollars that record companies are no longer, they want you to have a hit song already, basically already have a video on YouTube so they
doing
can
numbers.
Monetize
they'll
it.
They'll pass over the guys that come into the office that are polished. We'll say, we'll use New Edition as an example. They'll pass over the guys that come into the office that are that cold for the guy that has a million views on some dumb shit on YouTube. And they'll push him to the forefront.
Bad
like
baby.
It's not even
example A.
Yeah, example I mean, A. And it's just, not even
everywhere. And they actually AR'd her because she doesn't rap.
Right.
They seen somebody had an image that was popping and decided let's find somebody to write some rhymes for her.
Yeah.
Let her spit the rhymes. We got somebody to make some beats.
How can
I mean
we
that, but to me that's the epitome of Cardi B.
No,
she's an entertainer. Like
but,
she don't rap.
But in a way, record companies they're like
it's
easier to monetize bad behavior
Facts.
Than to go ahead and develop actual talent.
Yeah.
Cardi B's a character. Like she's playing the character well. Like I'm talking about.
But I feel like that's,
I think that's just her.
That's who she is. Though.
Yeah, I'm talking about
because you didn't talk about debuts. Like really, she put out two. Gangsta Bitch Music 1 and 2.
She sure
I
did.
I didn't hear those. I'm sorry.
She sure did.
Yeah. I didn't hear those. I'm
so,
sorry.
So, I mean, that's kind of why I wasn't surprised when Cardi B hit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was asleep. I ain't know about the Love and Hip Hop and the Vines and all that. I was asleep on all that. So
I was.
I ain't saying she ain't work for it. I'm just saying, you know, it's kind of like, to me, she's an entertainer versus
a rapper.
She
for real started from the bottom.
No.
And now she's here.
Yeah.
Go get that
she's
bread.
She's out of here.
Yeah, get the bag. I ain't mad at her for getting that bag.
She's actually in the news now because she declined to perform at the Super Bowl.
Has that been confirmed or was that is that?
Has she straight up? I knew about Rihanna declining.
Yeah. I recently, actually, before we start shooting the show, I heard where I read that too.
She was gonna rock with Maroon 5, right? As a feature or something.
I'm not sure.
Well, because she does have a record with them out. It's like the number one record for them too.
I thought they were gonna have a feature. I guess she was supposed to come out and do a feature with them, but I mean, if she wants to turn, they don't get paid for it, so I don't think she's been.
They get something.
They get a lot of times they pay to. I don't think they got a bag for it.
Oh, no, that might be thinking about the Grammys. Because, you know, everybody who performs on the Grammys, that's why a lot of times they give those artists the awards, because you have to pay to perform on the Grammys.
Oh.
For real?
Oh, yeah.
You got to cut the check to perform.
Even on MTV Awards, anytime you see people perform on an award show, you got to come off some money.
That's mad exposure.
That's next level pay to play.
That's considered promotion for your project.
Mm. That's true.
So that's built into your budget to perform on these award shows.
Well, all right.
Well, you got to get that bag.
There's got to be a silver lining in there somewhere. Yeah, there's got to be a silver lining in there somewhere where they want you to come perform on their show. Right. So they're not going to charge you.
Yeah, I mean.
I mean, I know it costs for a ticket to go to the Grammys.
Yeah, I mean.
Even the people that get invited, you still have to pay to go.
Oh, yeah. It's like $900 a seat. Like, you just don't. Even if you
it's
are.
It's like when I see the invites, I'm like, oh, that's nice. I mean, I know you paid for the seat.
Yeah. It's not. You don't go to the Grammys for free. You know, but there's a lot of just like when you start to really find out about the music industry and you start to really, you know, it's like when you pull the curtain back and you see Richard Pryor, like from The Wiz, and he's not really Oz.
Yeah.
And it's, you find out what really goes on. You're like, oh, okay, well, that's why that is the way it is. I mean, I'm not going to say it's disappointing, like, because from that time I worked in radio. I remember like someone telling me back in the day, oh, I want to work in radio. Just like you doing right now, because I love music. I always tell people, look, get in the radio because you love radio.
Yeah.
Don't get in the radio because you love music, because it will break your heart.
Man, spoken from experience.
Yeah, basically. I mean, like, I was lucky. I loved the art of radio, but I did not love listening to the same song every hour and 15 minutes.
And again.
I'm not mad at that.
Y'all remember when, at the Grammys, matter of fact, when Outkast won Album of the Year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when Drake came and said, for the last time, pretty much he didn't want to perform the song.
Oh, yeah. He was
like.
Oh,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, I remember. No, I think that was at the MTV Awards. No, it wasn't. Yeah, he was like, one more time. Hey, y'all, goddammit.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
he was sick of that song.
Hey, it's that, like, album went. Diamond, boy.
That reminds
but it was
me,
counted as two every time they sold it.
That reminds me when Clarence and I first put out our first album, 11 Piece. Mm-hmm. We had this song on there called Hey.
Love that joint.
Everybody loves that song.
That joint is so
we made that song in like 30 minutes, and it was just kind of a spoof of a song. But we did it at the.
And that's what people wind up loving.
We did it at the Jay Brookins beat, or Heavy Gun Battle.
No, I remember that.
And people loved it, and we kept doing it. And we people
That was one of my favorite joints y'all had.
It was not hip hop at all.
Clarence hit that high note.
Yeah,
I went to the high notes.
Clarence was in his bag. He had the hand motion. Yeah, he had to take the mic away from him.
Yeah, he took it to church.
I have to consistently tell him, like, you still got to put the mic up to your mouth because people can't hear you in the back. But yeah, you know.
Yeah, that squeal is legendary.
The grits hand.
The grits hand is legendary. Do we got anything popping? Anybody doing anything coming up? I don't want to miss. Before we get ready to wrap up, I got a couple minutes here.
Okay.
Jay Moore, do your thing. I know you're going to be out here in these streets.
All right. Go ahead and let you know, of course.
Lots of things going
this
on.
Thursday, going to be at Tiki Bob's with Lemmy Vice and DJ Gabby Love. So we're going to be holding it down. In fact, that's going to be a Halloween celebration we're going to do there.
This week?
That'll be tonight.
It'll be, tonight. Because by the time it's next Thursday, it'll be November. And then on Saturday, I'm going to be at Human Mario Kart at Circle City Industrial Complex. So I'm going to be on the microphone doing my race commentary. That'll be the first time.
Are you going to dress up?
I don't know, man. I'm thinking about it.
I kind of want to do that.
Yeah.
I kind of want to do that, too. Like,
yeah, Mike. We talked about
possibly doing that.
Shout out to Red August.
So, but on that same day, so that's going to be during the day. But that night, I'm going to be at the Jazz Kitchen for the Old Soul Entertainment costume party, and that's in conjunction with the Black Firefighters Association.
Nice.
Right here in Indianapolis. So it's going to be a fundraiser, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So get involved with that.
Fun.
And of course, next Tuesday we'll be right back at, like we are every Tuesday at Coach's Tavern.
Atmosphere is going to be in town.
Friday.
That's going down.
High Five?
No, that's actually going to be the Vogue.
Vogue, okay. Vogue. Word.
I think Terry and I are going to Selection on Thursday night in Chicago.
Oh, you balling?
We didn't hire movers.
Ooh.
Oh.
Hit the fuck shit bill on that.
Hey, man, I got a discount. We got a discount. I'm not going to do it again now that I know I have great friends that will move during the middle of the week.
Oh, discount and, double check ass.
Yeah, shout out to A-Rod. I think that's all. You don't have anything with the Arkenstone around your neck?
With the what?
It's called the Arkenstone from
from The Hobbit?
The Hobbit, yeah. No. That's what that is. No. I like the Arkenstone. You think I'm trying to clown.
No, I
like
don't. The Arkenstone. I don't, honestly. But
yeah. It's kind of that's fresh.
Thank you.
It's the Arkenstone. Do you have anything popping, anything coming up?
Nah, man. Just I know you be out in these streets. And going to Chicago Thursday. Word. So.
All right, that's going to wrap.
Or today, actually.
Well, I mean, we can wrap it up. That's episode 104. Make sure that you guys check us out on the Patreon website, /newoldheads. We actually have, I think we've gained, what, maybe a couple in the last, couple new patrons in the last, what?
Couple upgrades,
yeah, yeah.
Okay, so having some fun in there. We got some more things that we're thinking about doing.
See those great Indie CD and Vinyl gift baskets, man.
Yes, shout out to Indie CD and Vinyl. They are a new sponsor of ours, partner of ours. Coleman Dental, Dr. Coleman, 317-255-8546. Make sure you keep your teeth is right. Printfinity, as always, support your local businesses. And indeed, bringing down the band as the hub, as always, we distribute dopeness. And we will see y'all next week.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. You know the Arkenstone.
Oh, and if it's a backpack, rock a Jansport.